Morning, everyone. My name is Greg. I'm one of the pastors in the Harbor Churches, and in particular, I am at the Fairhaven campus most of the time. Second, I'm over here with you guys, so I get to hang out with Walker Harbor Church quite a bit, and it's been an exciting week, actually, for us at Walker Harbor Church and at Fairhaven as part of the greater churches. And if you're new here today and you're wondering, like, where are the rest of them? We have a church over in Granville that's called Harbor Life Church. We have one in Byron Center, and that one is called South Harbor Church. And then we have one other church that's out there as well in Jamestown called Jamestown Harbor Church. This is the North Country up here, Walker Harbor Church. And the reason it's been so exciting for us is this. We've been in a search process looking for the next pastor of Walker Harbor Church. And during that, we interviewed a bunch of people, made a bunch of phone calls, been spending a lot of time in prayer around this. And all the while, Wally Harrison has been leading up here. Wally is one of our church planting residents as of this moment, but in a few moments, his title is going to shift because we're going to pray over him. And the reason he was not really considered up here as the pastor here is because he was looking at, with his wife Sarah, looking to plant somewhere else. And we were praying about where we're going to send Wally. And then as he's been leading up here, this church has been saying, but stop interviewing these other people. Stop praying for somebody else. We already have our guy. And so we went, oh, we didn't think about that one a whole lot. But we talked to Wally about it, and Sarah, and he began to pray, and they went, we're feeling compelled. We believe God has joined us to join this group up here. And so your pastor, Wally Harrison, let's bring Wally up a minute. And I want to thank a couple people here, and one's here, actually, Denny and Bob Zweers. So Bob, they sent out an email and said, can you guys consider Wally? Can you pray about it? And I went, no, I sent back an email and said, no, Wally's heading somewhere else. We were clear about that on the front end. And these guys are the kind of leaders that went, wrong answer, let's try that again. Let's rethink that one. And so then we did. And I am super, super excited. So I just want to invite you. There's this thing in the Bible, and if you're newer to the church, going, this is kind of weird. And we talk about laying hands on people. When I was in high school, to lay hands on somebody meant to beat them up, right? You know, so that's not what we're doing here. But there's this thing in the Bible that you lay hands on somebody, and you pray over them, and you set them apart for the ministry of the gospel. And just want to invite you just to extend a hand, and I'm going to lay one on here on Wally, and let's pray for your pastor here. Father, thank you for Wally. Thank you for Sarah. Thank you for their boys, the three of them. Thank you for your call on their life together to lead the charge up here in Walker of helping people find their way back to you. And all of God's people said, amen. All right, let's welcome them. Welcome, you guys.
Thanks. Thrilled to be with you and now to be with you. So it's exciting, and I love that. And part, I get to join Max and Leah, and they've been doing such a great job with you all as well. And so I'm thrilled to be able to kind of jump into that team. And for me, one of the hardest things is I like to go. I like to kind of hit the ground and let's get after this thing. And so being with you all, and as we've kind of been kind of doing this, one of the hardest things for me is I feel like I've been just kind of toes in, ankles in, and sitting back going, oh man, like what happens if we could just kind of unleash and go and go? And so for me, I've had to kind of bite my tongue and hold myself back a little bit. Maybe you've picked up on that. So I think the biggest thing is I need to probably bring more energy when I'm teaching, sermonizing, right? So maybe now we'll be able to turn that up a little bit if we can, right? Right. Yeah, so I'm thrilled. And part of what I want to do, though, is next week, I get to piggyback off this morning of what we're going to be talking about, what this church is all about. What Harbor Churches and this church is all about, that Greg will take us into, and then I get to piggyback off of that, and next week talk about, you want to know me, you want to know my heart, and then us and what we are becoming. We get to dive into that. So I get to kind of fully roll next week. And so I'm excited about that. And so thanks. I appreciate it. Appreciate the prayers. But this is something we get to do together. I'm joining with you, and we get to dive in. And so let's be the church well. Sound good? Grace and peace. Thrilled to be with you all.
All right. Thanks, Wally. All right. And I want you to know this, that Wally and I, we were talking about this message this morning, his message next week, and we roll like a couple linebackers, so I'm like, I'll hit him low, you hit him high. Let's do this thing, 1-2 punch on this thing. And Wally and I, more than any other, or maybe in a different way, different than the other pastors in our system, we partner up in a different way because Fairhaven is really connected to this. And we're considering, even though we're all one church, this is different. There's a special relationship. And Wally is my brother in Christ. I'm excited to partner with him. And as we build together the next churches, we're already dreaming and planning that. In fact, we work so closely together, we actually share an office together. We were looking at putting them somewhere in the building. We have other offices we could put them in. And I'm like, man, you want to move in with me and just hang out in my office? And so we have the same office together. We hang out together. We pray together. We got plans to actually work out together up here in the Walker area. So if anybody is like, I want to lift, come join us and we'll be a part of that. And Wally will wear the green and white Walker shirt. I'm going to wear the amazing blue Walker shirt. So we'll get that going on. But we're just going to do ministry together. And so it feels good for me to stand here and to go, I'm home. I'm home whether I'm in this pulpit or in the pulpit back in Hudsonville area, I'm home. And so I want to take this morning and I want us to think about who we are. And the big question for us this morning is, why do we do what we do when we do it? Why do we do what we do when we do it? And if you're new here this morning and it's your first time in here, I don't think you could have picked a better Sunday to show up. It feels like we're lifting again, like we're taking off again. And we're going to put on display over this next 2 weeks who this church is. So if you're just gathering here and wondering, come back next week too and say, give it a 2-week checkout and to say, do I want to be a part of this? And I'm going to be asking the question this morning again and again, trying to land this thing. Why do we do what we do? Knowing that this gathering here today is part of a bigger gathering of churches in West Michigan here that are dreaming really, really big. So last week, we had the first of our 5 mission offerings. And like, why? Why do we do that? You know, it's churches, you know, they pass this offering plate around, but there's 5 times a year we actually pass the plate 2 times. And like, weird, why do we do that? And we took the offering, the totals came in, our collective churches together, we collected just over $44,000 between these 5 churches. And what we're going to do with it, we're going to give it away. Like, what? Why would you do that? Why would you give $44,000 away? You belong, if this is your church, or you've shown up to, if you're just looking at this church, you have shown up to a church that gives away somewhere around $400,000 a year. We give it away. Almost $500,000 a year. We just give it away. Why would we do that? Why? Think about sending missionaries into the mission field. And a missionary is just somebody that's going to go out and tell people about Jesus and live in such a way that people would be compelled to come to Jesus. Just last year, we laid hands on, just like we did for Wally, praying over him, setting him apart from ministry with his wife, Sarah. We prayed over 7 students. High school graduates, college graduates, we prayed over them and we sent them out of our community. We sent them out of our state. We sent them out of our country and we sent them off into different parts of the world saying goodbye to them. Not actually sure when they're coming back. Just know it wasn't like taking a trip. They were given their lives to what they were going to do. Why would we send some of the people that we love so dearly and nearly, just send them into the world? We had hundreds of people that we prayed over and sent all over the globe. Some of them were local, right here in our community. Some of them were regional. They were in the United States. Some of them, they're global. We sent them overseas. And these people that belong to our church, us, these people that were willing to do this, they gave money to go do this work, to go serve, to get sweaty, to get dirty, to get their hands dirty, to join in some of the most painful stuff they've ever done. Conditions that were less, far less, than what we're used to living in. No air conditioning. Paying money, sometimes thousands of dollars, in order to go to places where they have to take vacation, to go work really, really hard. Why? Why would we do that? There's this place called Turkey. It was one of the epicenters of Christianity in the world. Now it's a stronghold for the way of Islam. We're there. We're in the heart of it with some people that we support that are there living among those people trying to bring the good news of Jesus Christ. Like, why would we be in Turkey? It's a stronghold of Islam. Why would we do that? We're in a place called Myanmar. And like, where's that? Well, Myanmar is the home of one of the worst genocides. In fact, people believe it is the worst genocide that is taking place on planet Earth as we speak. Wally and I have a mutual friend that's there. His name is Steve Gumer. And Steve is trying to figure out how, when the world has labeled this people, the Rohingya people, has labeled this the most oppressed and beat down minority group on planet Earth, is trying to figure out how to get food into them when they have been locked out, and these people have been locked down and they're starving them out. And he just found a way, just this past week, to get some food into those people, risking his life and his team in order to get food in. Why would we be there? Like, why would we do that? And some of you are already forming answers. Like, I got all kinds of reasons why. Why would we go to Syria? Because we've been asked, will you guys go to Syria? Please come to Syria. And like, Syria? Like, are you serious? Like, that's really dangerous. Nobody should travel to Syria. There are warnings that you should not go to Syria. Why would we go there? Well, we're being asked to go there, to plant a church there, to spread the good news about Jesus there, and they're asking some of us to actually go, there. They've asked Wally, they've asked me, in particular, us too. Will you two sign up and come? And we're praying about it, we're thinking about it, and you go, why would you guys think about this? Why would you even consider doing that? Why? Why do we do what we do when we do it? Why? Why would a whole bunch of us that are sitting right here, and if you're newer here today, you're surrounded by people that left really comfortable churches. They have padded seats, not these fold-up steel ones, right? They don't even have to set them up. They're already set up. They can show up to church 10 minutes late. These guys were here this morning somewhere around 7 o'clock setting up this stuff, setting up the stage, setting up, pulling a trailer over, making coffee. Why would you guys do that? Why would you leave what's comfortable to show up here? Why would you show up to go to a soccer event every Saturday? And I don't know if you did it yesterday. It looked like a total rainout, but why would you show up to soccer events and just set up a table right outside here and just say, coffee, donuts, we're just here. We're here. Why? Why would you do that? Why would you go to Walker Days? Why would you show up? Why do we sweat before we show up to church? Why do we do what we do when we do it? Why are we doing all this stuff? I want to invite us to open up our Bibles to Romans chapter 1. You can pull it up on your phone, but if you're going to pull it up on your phone or on an electronic device, hold on a second and pull it up to actually Romans 15. But if you got a paper copy, go ahead and pull it up to Romans 1 and stick your finger in it, because we're going to come back to it. And then flip over to Romans chapter 15. So here's the big question for this. I'm going to ask one more why question before we jump in. Like, why did this guy named Paul write this book? Now, Paul's just a guy, like you and I, and just a human being that met up with Jesus, had his life transformed by Jesus, and then he went, I'm in. I'm all in. And you can figure out why he did what he did when he did it, and I want to talk a little bit about that. So why did he write this book? Because if we can actually figure out why he wrote this book to the people in Rome, we could maybe get a clue of what he's trying to get across to us today. If we could figure out, like, why did he write this and what was he hoping those who read it read, what was he hoping those who hear it hear, we might actually be able to say, this is what we're supposed to be reading when we read it, hearing when we're hearing it. And it actually might mess with us, it might move us, it might stir us here today to go, okay, yeah, I need to sign up for something like that. So in chapter 15, we get a clue of this. Beginning in verse 18, Paul's writing these words at the end of the book about the whole book. This gives us a clue why he wrote it. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done, by the power of signs and wonders through the power of the Spirit of God. So from Jerusalem all the way to the Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel of Christ where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building off someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. So that those who have not heard will see, and those who have not understood, man, they're going to get it. They're going to get it. It's been my ambition to do this work. Like, are you catching Paul's heart? It's amazing. This guy's heart is this. You know, Romans 15, it's not telling us that the heart and the ambition of this man is to make sure that the people in Rome get their theology straight. And there's some people that would claim that the book of Romans is the deepest, the most intense book when it comes to theology. Sure, we could say that this morning, but let's be super clear. His intent is not so that as we read it today, we're going to go, man, now I get it. Now I've got the proper theology and I've got some good head knowledge. That's not it. It's not written so that we would be in a place where we could get our facts straight. And there's a lot of facts that are here. A lot of things that would say you're supposed to live this way and not that way. It's better to operate in this direction than that direction. And we could pick it up and say, there's the intent of the book, so that I stop doing this and start doing that. We could say that, but we'd be wrong, because that is not the intent of the book. It's not even the heart of the author. The heart of the author is, I've got an ambition. I have a drive that's inside of me, and it's to get the gospel all over the world. Good news, to be good news and to speak good news to everybody that I meet. I simply want my life to be a reflection of Christ. So what drove Paul? Why did he do what he did when he was doing it? It's this ambition that was burning inside of him. In fact, here's a map of some of Paul's missionary journeys where he was willing to go. And three different missionaries' journeys. You got the first one in black, the second one sort of in purple, the third one that's in red, and then there's this other journey that some say he took and some say he didn't take, but he certainly had a plan to make it to Spain. And we read about this stuff, or we look at this, and I just want to say for today, it does not matter. It really doesn't. It doesn't matter where he went or what he was doing. It matters why he was doing it. It matters why, because we're asking the why question. Why do we do what we do when we do it? And we look and we can go, okay, he went to these places like Derbe and Lystra. He made his way to Thessalonica, and he was found his way into places like Philippi. Did all these things, and we know that he wasn't traveling by car. He wasn't traveling by plane, so he didn't sail in. He didn't come under air condition. We know this guy, he got on a camel at best, or maybe he rode somewhere on a ship, took a ship and found his way somewhere else. Or most likely, all he's doing is walking it out, wearing out the soles of his sandals. In fact, this guy got stoned. And when I say that, be clear, I'm not talking about what some of us think about when he got stoned, right? He got rocked, you know, literal rocks, you know, I'm just saying. So this guy was willing to go through beatings, shipwreck. He was willing to walk it out, wear the soles off his sandals. He was willing to face persecution to a level where he ended up in prison, and they thought he was dead at one point. Like, why? Why are you doing it? Why, Paul? And he said this, "It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ has not been known, so that those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. I've got this fire inside of me I can't put out. I have this drive that is deep down inside of me. I have to do it. I've got this passion. I so long for people to meet the Jesus that I met, to be transformed the way that my life was transformed. I can't help but do this. I'll go anywhere and tell anybody about him." In fact, he goes so far as to really proclaim in this message here that we see in Romans chapter 15 that the purpose of the church is this. It's to be good news to anybody and to everybody. That the purpose of the church is to be good news to anybody and everybody. I want to go to anybody and everybody with this good news, especially those who have not heard it. I want to live this way, which means this. When we cease to be good news or to speak good news, I wouldn't take those two apart. I'd meet them up, just mesh them together. You speak it and you are it. When we cease to do that, we cease to be what the church has always meant to be. He's saying the church, our ambition, why we do what we do when we do it, man, it has to be because we have good news and I want to be good news and I can't help but speak good news to anybody and to absolutely everybody. And so if we flip now to Romans chapter 1 and we read it through that lens, that your purpose and my purpose, the church's purpose, if you sign up for this thing called following Christ, and some of us here today are like, man, I don't know if I'm ready to sign up for that. That's okay. It's all right. You don't have to sign up for it. You can belong, be a part of this long before you believe about him. That was my journey, just sitting there trying to figure it out, trying to be a part of something, and I felt like I was part of the family, but I didn't quite get this Christ thing. But if you're signing up for this, our purpose is to be good news. And Paul writes it this way in chapter 1. He says, "Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart, laid hands on him for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in his holy scripture, regarding his son, who, as to his earthly life, was a descendant of David, and who, through the Spirit of holiness, was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him we receive grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. And you also were among the Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is reported all over the world. God, whom I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how I constantly remember you in my prayers at all times, and I will pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I planned many times to come to you, but I've been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I've had among the other Gentiles. And this verse right here. I am obligated both to the Greeks and the non-Greeks, both to the wise and to the foolish. And that is why I'm so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. I'm obligated, he says, both to the Greek and to the non-Greek, both to the wise and to the unwise. Remember, the filter through which we're reading this is, what's the purpose of the book? What's he trying to get across to Rome? What's he hoping the hearer will hear? And he's saying, it's wrapped up in my heart. My heart is ambition over here to get the good news to anybody that hasn't heard it, to be good news to anybody that hasn't experienced the good news of Jesus. And he's saying, I'm obligated, in fact. So you got obligation in chapter 1, ambition in the 15th chapter. So Paul's words, I am obligated to both the Greeks and the non-Greeks, both the wise and the foolish. Like, what is he saying here? Because when you read that, you might think like, man, I'm obligated because of what Jesus has done for me. I'm obligated to God. But that isn't what he's actually saying. He said, I'm obligated to who? The Greeks. I'm indebted to the Greeks. I owe it to the Greeks to be good news to them and to bring good news to them. I'm obligated. I'm indebted to the non-Greeks. I'm obligated. I owe it to the wise. I owe it to the foolish. Like, what? What is this all about? Well, for the Greek people, they had a word for non-Greeks. So jump into the context here. What would it be like to be in Rome at that time? Well, there's us, and then there's them. There's us Greeks, and then there's the non-Greeks that belong to the rest of the world. They don't think like us. They don't act like us. They don't look like us. They don't talk like us. They're not us. There's us, and then there's all the rest. And Paul says, I'm obligated to you Greeks, and I'm also obligated to you non-Greeks. Paul, why do you do what you do when you do it? I'm under obligation. This is so good. This is so amazing. This is so life-altering that I can't keep it here. I have to bring it to anybody and everybody. And for the Greek people, they actually had a word for the non-Greeks. They called them barbarous. Everybody that didn't look like them, didn't act like them, didn't talk like them, they called them barbarous. And the reason was, and I think this is actually kind of funny, the reason was is when they talked to other people, they said all it sounds like is this, bar, 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 bar. They like, well, what are they saying? And the reason I think that's kind of funny is because for us, there's this saying that says, it's all Greek to me, right? That thing's all Greek to me. I don't even know what they're talking about. And here are the Greeks saying, it's all barbarous to me. It's all bar, 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 baran, bar, bar, you know, like, what, you know, like whatever. I don't even know what they're saying, man. What are these people doing? And so they call them barbars, barbarous. All the rest of the world, they're just barbarous. But here's what's fascinating. That word is the same word that we now use for barbarians. And Paul's going, it's my ambition. Man, if I could get to the barbars, there would be nothing better than going to the barbars, the barbarians. Send me there. I want to be a part of it. There's nothing better. And he's going, but I'm under obligation. I owe it to you, Greeks. I owe it to you because this, I can't contain this. This is for anybody and everybody. I'm coming to you, Greeks, and I long to come to you, Greeks, but I'm actually going to Spain. That's where he wanted to go. I want to go to Spain because in Spain, they haven't even heard of Jesus. They don't even know Jesus. They don't even know that God showed up on planet Earth for us. They don't know the joy of living life in him and the transforming power of this good news. They don't know it can take your life and set you on a completely different path. So I want to come to Rome. I want to come to you Greeks. But I also want to go to the barbars. And I'm not just obligated to the Greeks and the barbars, but man, I'm obligated to the wise and to the foolish. So good. I'm obligated to the in and the out group. I'm obligated to those that are in power and those that are following. I'm obligated to the leaders and those that are in tow behind. I'm obligated to the smart and the not so smart. You know, like everybody, anybody and everybody, I'm under obligation. It's like Paul saying, man, there was a day that I just wrote a check to God and just went, man, actually I just signed it. So here you go. You fill it in because I have no idea what I should fill in to the. I'll mess it up, God. If I fill it in, I might put too little. I might put the wrong direction. You fill it in. Sort of like Wally and I. We had a plan. God had a different plan. And he said, here's the plan. I want Walker, this blank slate. God, what is it you want me to do? And he's going, Paul, you're under obligation. I've empowered you by the Spirit. You're meant to make the church, to lead the church in the charge of going to anybody and everybody, the Greek and the non-Greek, to the slave, to the free. I want you to go to the wise and to the unwise. I want you to bring this good news to the world, to everyone. And Paul's like, I'm in. What's it going to cost me? Don't worry about that. I'll be with you. I'll be with you. Man, I think Paul would have something to say to our generation. He had something to say to that generation and to our generation and probably every generation since. He has something to say to our nation. He has something to say to a whole bunch of nations that are out there that sometimes lose their way and start thinking something other than this stuff that we're talking about. And begin to think, man, it's about me. It's about us. Paul's saying, that's not the gospel, man. For those of us here that are claiming to be followers of Christ, I just want to speak to us here a minute. So if that's not you, that's okay. I just want to speak to us here a minute. Let's remember what Jesus said when he said, seek ye first. Seek first the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven first. Yeah, we live here on this planet, right? We're part of this state called Michigan, part of this United States of America. But what comes first? His kingdom. We swear allegiance to the king whose kingdom we belong to. His way of thinking, his way of rolling it out is our way of thinking and rolling it out. And when anything in this world comes into conflict with that, this kingdom wins. We swear allegiance to this. I think about Paul's words here. I'm under obligation to the Greek and the non-Greek, to us and to everybody else that's not like us, equally. To the wise and to the foolish, equally. Equally, I go after all of this together. In fact, Paul went so far as to say to us, to say, think not only of your own interests, but also to the interests of others. And then he just sort of ramps it up. In fact, regard others. Regard the foolish, regard the barbars as even better than yourselves. Like, why do we do what we do when we do it? Man, why would we go to Syria? Why in the world would we give away $400,000 a year? Why would we be in Myanmar? We never met these people. Why would we spend thousands of dollars to take vacation to go somewhere else? And to work in this world, why would we send our children away to say, we're going to tears were going to shed. I think about a few kids that I really got close to, and we're hugging them out and praying for them, and they're off to places where they're not well received. Why? Why is our friend Steve, why is he really in a dangerous part of the world and puts himself in danger purposefully? Why are Wally and I even considering Syria? Why are you here? Up in Walker. This is hard. It's hard. And it's amazing. It's work. And it's life. It's invigorating. We do it because of our mission. Because we have been bought at a price. That's what Paul said in another part of the scripture. And I'm like, that's poor English, Paul. Why'd you write it that way? It's redundant. Like bought, that implies a price. But he says we were bought and at a price, that God so loved this world. Not just this city. Not just this state. Not just this country. So loved the Greeks and the non-Greeks, the wise and the foolish, that he went. And Paul says, I want to join him in that work. And we have joined him in that work of helping people find their way back to God. So when I think about this, just to bring it home here with us here today, Where do we start with this stuff? You know, it's obvious this is a fairly radical group of followers of the King of all Kings, because you're pioneering new turf. You're pioneering new territory for the sake of the gospel. And we're not up here, really, we're not. We're not up here to see how many church people we can reach, are we? That's not who we are. We're not up here because we're saying, man, can we reach some people that don't know Christ? Yeah, that's why we're up here. To reach people that haven't heard. To reach people that haven't seen. That's why we're up here. When I think about the world that we're living in today, we might ask, are there actually unreached people in this world yet? The answer is yeah, there are. There are. And when we think about bringing this gospel to them, I would say it's here and there. We don't have to differentiate. There are some that are called there. There are some that are called here. You don't have to go to Syria because we're already there in thought and prayer. You don't have to go to Myanmar because we're already there. Thought, prayer, and action. Good news there. Showing up with rice to people that don't have food. We are good news to those people. You don't have to go to Thailand or Nepal. You don't have to be a part of the planting of 200 churches in India. Like, why would we do that? Next 5 years, we're going to plant 200 churches in India. Why are we doing that? Because we're under obligation to the Greek and the non-Greek, the slave to the free. We're under obligation to the wise and to the foolish, because that's what we do when we do when we do it. This is it. And we do it because we've been touched, we've been healed, we've been restored, and now it's our turn. And because we care about people, for God so loved the world, so do we. For God so loved Walker, so do we. And we get to join him in that work. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the gift of joining you in the work that you accomplished on the cross and in your resurrection, that life, abundant and free, can be ours. And now we have the opportunity to join you in that work right here. Some of us with our neighbors. Some of us passing out a cup of coffee at a soccer game. Some of us helping with the fall fest. Some of us that are over at Walker Day. Some of us were throwing block parties. Some of us... It's a phone conversation. It's a prayer that we're offering up on behalf of somebody that doesn't yet know. Some of us will be traveling overseas. Wherever it is, we just offer up our lives like Paul did, a blank check, and say, God, you go ahead and fill it in. Here we are. You fill it in. Because we know this. On that line, it's obligation and it's ambition. And then for what? It's for anybody and everybody that we will not just talk good news, we are going to be good news. When they see us coming, they're going to say, good news is on the way. I can't wait to spend some time with this person. And we pray, Lord, that we would be so magnanimous, so of the flavor that is you, so the aroma that comes off us would be so much like you that when the opportunity comes for us to describe you, they would say, I get it. I get it. Because you're a lot like that. And so have your way in us. In your name we pray. Amen.